Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
This morning's lesson, we ask, in general, if you would at least, as to what is your view, what is your consideration of the Scripture? We were looking at the Scripture as a whole this morning as we considered the Lord's relationship as well as His response to the things of the Scripture. Tonight, I want to consider, in a sense, something similar, but yet at the same time, a little bit different, as to our consideration of the Old Testament Scripture. As we think about the Old Testament Scripture, we need to understand is that there is an ongoing value that never ceases in regard to what we read from the Old Testament Scripture. I want to begin our study tonight with a consideration kind of like what we did with the lesson this morning, but as we would think in regard to the Old Testament, what are the various views? What views have been held, even what views are held in regard to the Old Testament Scripture? In the second century, the church and church doctrine found its first heresy when individuals were coming up with man-made theological standpoints in regard to what they believed in regard to the Bible. Amongst those individuals is an individual that we identify from a historical standpoint as Marcion. And this man was a heretic who contended that the Old Testament Scripture needed to be eliminated from the Bible. In this, we find is that he felt as if there was not a harmonization, but rather there was irreconcilable differences in the God of the Old Testament Scripture in comparison to the God of the New Testament Scripture. And in this, then, he said that the entirety of the Old Testament needs to be excluded. In fact, what he said was, is that the New Testament Scripture literally needs to begin the Bible, and that if the Old Testament is going to be a part of it, it is not a part of the canonization or the canonized Scripture, but rather it needs to serve as an appendix to the Word of God. We should not be surprised is that individuals who accepted the Old Testament Scripture and knew alike, is that these individuals did not go along with him. They rejected his theology, and amongst them was Justin Martyr and Irenaeus, who are considered amongst many to be church fathers, and these men rebuked him, and rightfully so, for his wanting to eliminate the Old Testament Scripture. Also, I look in regard to reformers, those of the Reformation movement, and it's interesting that a man by the name of Martin Luther held that the Old Testament Scripture should be held with high regard. And he was not alone in his view. It's interesting also, if you study the reformers in church history, you will find is that John Calvin also believed that the Old Testament needs to be held with high regard. And Martin Luther said these words. He says, "What is the New Testament but a public preaching and proclamation of Christ set forth through the sayings of the Old Testament fulfilled in Jesus Christ?" And to that we would say that certainly we would agree. If you look to the Old Testament Scripture, it says so much about Christ. And in the New Testament then we find is that Christ is proclaimed and preached very clearly according to the things that was stated with reference to Him in the Old Testament Scripture. Also, there's an individual and his name we're not so familiar with, and this man's name is Friedrich Schleiermacher. It's a little difficult to pronounce even. He lived between 1768 and 1834, and as we consider his words, he said that the Old Testament Scripture is the product of hedonism. Heathens were responsible, as he says, for the production of the Old Testament Scripture. And he says that the Old Testament Scripture does not align with the narrative dignity of the New Testament Scripture. Again, he had problems himself with the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New, and also the way in which God maneuvered through the Old Testament in comparison to His workings in Jesus Christ our Lord. In fact, what he contended is that the God of the New Testament was brought forth in Jesus Christ, and therefore He is really and truly deity as we would come to know and to consider Him. Yes, we can study individuals from history all day long and to find that these individuals either were in line with the acceptance and the keeping of the Old Testament Scripture, or we can, as we pointed out, there are many false teachers who wanted to exclude the study of the Old Testament Scripture. And it's also important for us tonight to point out is that there are a few Christians. And when I use the term Christian, as I am in this context, I am using it in reference to true New Testament Christians, members of the Lord's Church, of the churches of Christ. A few Christians say that the Old Testament Scripture is not important or as important as the New Testament Scripture, and therefore it is not critical for us to study from the Old Testament. They argue that Jesus Christ died and nailed the law to the cross, and He did, and established a new and better covenant, and I do not deny that at all. In fact, He did, and we are bound by the new and better covenant, and to that we say amen. In that too, they say that we are the New Testament church, and we are to follow according to those New Testament practices and the things of the old. That does not really apply to us, and therefore we do not really need to know them. They point to New Testament Christianity, and they say it's all about the New Testament, and the Old Testament has really nothing to do with us. In fact, many will say is that you don't need to read and study the Old Testament in order to get to heaven. And to that I would say, you're right. But still at the same time, the Bible tells us without any question that the Old Testament is indeed of great value to us. A part of our Scripture reading a few moments ago came from the words of the Apostle Paul in his writing to the saints at Rome in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, wherefore things written aforetime. He's speaking in the context about the Old Testament rites, the Old Testament Scripture. He says those things of the Old Testament, he says they were written for what? For our learning. There is indeed great value in regard to what we find in the Old Testament Scripture. It's in the Old Testament Scripture, isn't it, that we come into an introduction of our God, the God of creation, the God, eternal God. And it's through our study of the Old Testament that we not only understand God, but it's also how we understand our origin, how we came to be. We live in an age today where people dismiss not only God, but they also want to say is that the world was not created. They believe in the theories of evolution. And friends, you and I know that that's not right. And these theories are nothing more than man-made schools of thought as to what they want to believe and to how they want to try and explain our origin. But what we find as we read and study from the Old Testament, we come to a clear understanding in regard to how man came into existence. But also, as I stand before you tonight, I tell you that as you read and study from the Old Testament Scripture, it becomes very clear that God has a plan in Christ. And the Old Testament shows forth the development of God's plan in Christ. And if we did not study from the things written aforetime, there's so much of this information that we would not be able to put together as we would read and study then even in the New Testament. Also, though, we learn from the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 2 that the things of the Old Testament are the oracles of God. The oracles there in the original language literally means the writings of divine communication. It is divine revelation that's been presented to mankind. And as we think in regard to the Old Testament being the oracles of God, what's under consideration there? All of the writings that we find in the Old Testament Scripture represent the oracles of God. All of the people that we read about throughout the Old Testament Scripture, these are a part of God's communication or of God's revelation. All of the events are very critical for us to understand as we would consider God, also as we would look at the Jews and even the bringing forth of the Messiah. All of these are considered to be the oracles of God as they are presented in the New Testament Scripture. As the Apostle Paul was writing to the saints at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, actually verses 1 through verse 11, if you want to take the entire context, he's speaking about the Old Testament and various events in regard to the children of Israel and how that God is leading them out, but yet at the same time they are continually rebelling against God. And how God not only saw these things, but how God worked to rebuke them and punish them along the way. And as Paul concludes this section of this epistle to the saints at Corinth, he says that these things happened to them as an example. Therefore, the events and even Israel serve as an example to us. And it's through the Old Testament Scripture that we come to see these examples. Friends, tonight, the things that I have presented thus far on this slide from Romans 15 and verse 4, Romans chapter 3 and verse 2, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 are from the words of the Apostle Paul. Yes, he is inspired and he's stating these by way of revelation, but I state this and point this out to identify is that Paul saw great value in the Old Testament in regard to New Testament Christianity. Why is that important? If you will note the passage of Scripture there with this point in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through verse 16, Paul, in writing to the saints of Colossae, has said very clearly and aptly is that when Christ died on the cross, He nailed the law to the cross, removing the ordinances and taking away the old so that the new in Christ can be established. He understood those things. And therefore, whenever we read and understand that he saw that the law had been taken away, but still he identifies is that it still is important for us to read and to study. If it was important for Paul, friends, it must also be important for you and me as we would read and approach the Scripture tonight, the Old Testament Scripture. Think in regard to the Old Testament Scripture. As we think about the Scripture we presented this morning, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, tonight I want to emphasize that again by stating all of the Bible Scripture is the verbal, plenary, inspired message, revelation from our God. In this we understand is that verbally God has communicated to us. How has He accomplished this? We know that holy men of God spake as they were moved or carried about by the Holy Spirit. As Peter utters these words in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, friends, he is speaking in reference to the Old Testament Scripture. The holy men of old, these men were carried about by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, as they are speaking by way of inspiration, they are getting the revelation of God. And therefore, as we consider these things, we need to realize is that God has given His inspired message, this revelation, for a purpose. Was it for the people of that day? Yes, in part. But still at the same time, why has it been recorded? Why do we still have the revealed message from the days of old? Because God evidently saw it important to allow these things to continue on through time to be in existence unto this very age, in the Christian age, for a purpose, for you and me to see that indeed it is His revealed message and there's much good that we can glean as a result of that. Yes, tonight, I contend that it is a historical narrative. And in this, we understand is that it is historical material that is very rich. We study history, do we not, in school? And why do we study history? Well, years ago, whenever I was in school, we would say, at least in part, we studied history so that we would not repeat the same mistakes. The way that our country looks today, friends, I'm afraid we're not doing that anymore. And in fact, I don't even know that we're studying history the way that we used to study history back whenever some of us were going through school. We study history because there's good. At least that's what we've taught. It's good to study history. And we're able to learn about the people of the past and about our country and things of that nature. Can you imagine receiving a letter that has been penned in the past by a family member, someone that has been loved within your family, and you receive that letter and you just simply set it aside and you say, that was not penned to me. Yes, it's a part of our history. It's a part of our heritage, but still at the same time, it doesn't have my name on the envelope. And yet at the same time, the individual who's given it to you expects you to read it. But you don't find an importance in it. You lay it aside. Where's the love on our part if we would neglect the reading of that material? And the same would be true then as we consider the revelation that God has given us from the Old Testament Scripture. Because it is a revealed message from God, and God has inspired that Word, we need to take into consideration, even though it does not apply to us from a doctrinal standpoint, we need to study those things simply because it is the Word of God. But then also, the Old Testament reveals the vast powers of God. How do we know in regard to the fact that God is able to do anything? The Scripture tells us in the New Testament is that with man, not all things are possible, but with God, all things are possible. And friends, I see that God's powers are without limits. There's no restraints to God at all. We are not capable of doing everything. And sadly, the older we get, it seems like we're capable of doing much less. With God, He's always going to be able to accomplish whatever He sets His mind, if you would, to do. Why? Because He is all-powerful. And where do we come to an understanding, at least in part, in regard to the power of God? I believe that it begins in the Old Testament Scripture, taken in regard or into consideration the power of God in creation. He created the universe. He created mankind. And it's through His working in the creation that we begin to see how amazing God is in regard to the power that He possesses. But friends, also, we find is that God has power. Power of authority, power of judgment, and power over mankind. Take into consideration, in the Old Testament, we are taught God's power as it was used to vindicate the righteous as well as to wreak vengeance on the wicked. Take thought upon the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. We see that God destroys, obliterates these individuals because of their going according to homosexuality, sinful in the sight of God. And God, in His might and power, took care of the people of that day because of their sinful actions. Also, we understand, as Israel's coming out of Egypt and towards the Promised Land, we see that God defeats the Egyptians. The Egyptians were the powerhouse of the day. No other man could withstand them, would have been able to have defeated them, if you would, that is, if God was not working behind the scenes. And in this, though, God defeats them. And we also understand that as He defeats them, He then, in like figure, delivers the Jews, the children of Israel. Also, as we think about the power of God, as is presented in the Old Testament Scripture, what about David and Goliath, the death of Goliath? Are we going to suggest that whenever David took those five stones and slung the one stone, that it was all David? Absolutely not. Friends, I believe that David certainly had the courage and that he is presented as a man of God. In fact, the Bible identifies to us that later in life, at least, he's a man after God's own heart. But who was guiding that stone? I believe that God, through His power and might, was guiding the stone. It's through the Old Testament Scripture that we see the vast powers of God. But also, the Old Testament, its content serves to validate the faithfulness of our God. The Hebrews writer tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, he declares, "He is faithful that promised." Friends, as we read and study from the Old Testament Scripture, and we see the way that God worked during the patriarchal age and the things that He said He would do from a positive standpoint or even from a negative point of view, God always kept His promise. He always followed through with whatever it was that He said He was going to do. Move forward just a little bit under the Mosaic dispensation of time, the age there under the law of Moses, and what God said to Israel, He kept His word. Israel wasn't always individuals who kept their word, but God always kept His word. And not only whenever it came to His people, we also understand that whenever it came to the Gentiles, God used them to punish the Jews from time to time. And God also warned these individuals at various intervals, times, and that they needed to not be so harsh and that they needed to repent. They did not, and therefore God kept His promises that He had made about casting judgment upon these people. The Old Testament Scripture vindicates the faithfulness of our God. It's through the Old Testament that we first see how faithful God is. And therefore, this gives us assurance as Christians today that if we live our lives committed to God, live faithfully before Him, that when we stand before Him in judgment, heaven will be our eternal reward. One last point I want us to think about tonight, and that is, as you read and study from the Old Testament Scripture, each book works as a vehicle to bring us to Jesus Christ, our Lord. It has been said by some is that the overall theme of the Old Testament Scripture could be and should be Jesus Christ is coming, or the Messiah is coming. And I believe that that's right. Every single book of the Old Testament Scripture points to Jesus Christ. And as you read and study from the New Testament, the things that are stated with reference to Christ and from a prophetic standpoint, we find is that Jesus and even the apostles are identifying is that the prophets, the majority of their message was looking forward to the coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this, taking into consideration, Jesus in the Old Testament Scripture is presented as the root of Jesse. We know from the New Testament Scripture, where does He hail from? From the seed of Jesse. He's identified as the branch. The branch of who? The branch of David. And friends, by all means, we find in the Lord's genealogy, David. And we understand also that as the Lord's church was presented, as it was started, established in Acts chapter 2, the Scripture identifies that Christ is occupying that throne, the one to whom it really and truly belonged. And now He's seated, ruling at the right hand of the throne of God. But also, the Old Testament Scripture identifies Christ in a way in which we know Him probably best as we would look to Calvary as a suffering servant, the Lamb of God, Isaiah 53. I want to challenge each and every one to maybe sometime this week to read those 12 verses. As we were going through the School of Preaching back years ago, Brother Lonnie Smith, one of my instructors, ahead for the book of Isaiah, he challenged us to read and to memorize those 12 verses. They proved to almost be some of the hardest 12 verses to memorize, and the reason for that is because all the other memory work we had going on at the time. But I was able to memorize those verses. And while I can't fully recite them, if you were to ask me at the drop of a pen to do that, I can tell you what the majority of each verse consist of. Isaiah, some 8 centuries before Christ came, pictured Him as the suffering servant. And friends, we know that this certainly is a vehicle, the Old Testament, to point mankind to Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, is that the law served as a tutor, a schoolmaster, to point to Christ. Here's the problem. The Jews missed it. And if we do not read and study from the Old Testament Scripture, we also will miss some very valuable information that God has given us as it would pertain to His revealed message, as it would discuss His power, as it would also talk about His faithfulness, and friends, as it would also then give us a picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do not live under the Old Covenant law, but yet at the same time we must study the Old Testament Scripture on an ongoing basis so that we will have a greater appreciation for what we have in Christ, but also so that we will be able to connect the dots to better understand the New Testament Scripture as it pertains to us and our relationship with our God. Tonight, if we have those individuals who are here who are not Christians, we want to encourage you that God has a way of salvation in Christ, and God has afforded you an opportunity. If you're within the sound of our voice tonight, this invitation is for you. I appreciated Brother Paul's prayer a few minutes ago, the Isle of Opportunity. Paul, I've never heard it stated like that before, but that's true. When we sing this song here in just a few moments, that aisle will be your opportunity to come forward, to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God and submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. It may be that we have members, brothers and sisters in Christ, who are erring in some way, and that has separated you from God. We want you to know that not only does God love you, we love you. And we want so much for you to be right with God, and we will pray with you and for you.